All right, welcome back. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of full.
Yeah, I'm feeling much stronger, got my energy ready to finish off the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Three more modules coming down at you, and we're going to sort of, again, kind of continue where we left off. So we've dealt so far with strings, we've dealt with numbers. Now let's take a look at the last big data type, which is dates. And one little thing that's kind of worth highlighting real quick is, of course, you know, there's a lot of other types of data and so forth that you could be playing around with and so forth. You know, we're looking kind of for the big ones here.
Yeah.
So that's why we went numbers. That's why, of course, we went strings. And that's now why we're going with dates. And so let's, you know, let's kick into it. That's sort of the best way, I think, to get in and do it. So, you know, fact of the matter is that we spend an awful lot of time dealing with dates, dealing with deadlines, dealing with schedules. In fact, while we were, you know, eating, I was having to deal with a little fire. I, you know, have to have something done by the end of today. You know, so you've got all of those different things. So you're frequently trying to calculate the number of days before a particular event, or be able to maybe highlight something before or after it's completed. So based on, you know, a project being due, is it late or is it on track? If I'm looking to book an appointment 2 weeks from now, so maybe like my contacts.
A follow-up appointment with the doctor or something.
Exactly,
sure.
Yeah. My contacts are 30 days, you know, so I have to remember to pull them out after 30 days. So how do I go in and do something like that? Well, the way that we deal with all of that is by working with dates and times. And one great thing about Python, which is true across almost every language, is that it has the ability to understand and give you the ability to manipulate then a date. Yep. So let's say, for example, that, and this is kind of a classic example, that I want to figure out the number of days until my birthday. Now, in order for me to do this, the first thing that I'm going to need to know is what is today's date. And you'll notice that we can go in and pull that in by utilizing the date time class. Okay. Well, there's a lot that's going on here.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest questions that's come through the chat window is, can we create blank apps with Python? Can we create web apps? Can we create Windows apps? Can we? And the answer to all of those questions is 100% yes. You can create all of those. But typically, what all of those are going to require is some form of a library. So I'm going to need a library so that way I can more easily make the web calls. I'm going to need a library so I can go off and communicate with a database. Well, we're going to need something, some component to be able to work with dates.
I'm just going to throw in one other library I just want to mention, because there was a couple of questions that actually came up on the chat window that were talking about things like dealing with other languages and currency symbols from other languages.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a library out there, a module which contains functionality that help you deal with what we call localization, mm-hmm. those different locales,
yep.
called locale, L-O-C-A-L-E. So for those of you who are asking about how do I handle Danish characters, how do I show the euro symbol and things like that, there's a locale library for that.
Yep, absolutely. Actually, you can just, you know, draw it on the screen.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't work so well inside Visual Studio.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I tried.
Even Visual Studio has its limitations. It doesn't have touch input for writing your code yet.
Chucks. That'll be the next version.
Yes.
Okay. In any event, so in order to incorporate that level of functionality, what we're going to need is an import statement. And import, in a nutshell, simply means take something and make it available. So whatever it is that it happens to be, we're going to take that, we're going to make that available. Now, once we make that available, what you're going to notice is that we immediately have access to then date time. So in fact, here, I think sort of the best thing to do is actually get in and do it. So
Especially something like this.
Exactly.
You want to see, and it is such a common situation that you just need today's date. So you can figure out how many days from now to another date, or it's just a display. How many times do you see a report or something, or you print someone an email that confirms, hey, you ordered the tickets and you ordered them on this date. We constantly need today's date. It comes up all the time.
Exactly, yeah. So let's take a look at my code here. I'm just going to say today, which is spelled like that.
You sure you had some caffeine? You maybe should add some caffeine.
Yeah, no kidding. Today equals, I'm going to say date time, date, oh. You're going to notice a little error message here. It tells me right there, no completions.
So it's basically saying something, I'm confused.
It doesn't know what date time is.
IntelliSense, in this case, is actually telling you, I can't find it.
Exactly, yep. And so this is kind of a very quick way to see, oh, wait a minute, and if you ever see something like that, where you type something out, you hit a dot, you're expecting IntelliSense, and you're getting like no completions, that's frequently an indication that you forgot an import. So now I'm just going to say import, and you'll notice that this will show me all of the classes that are available to me inside of Python. So I'm going to go ahead and say import, and I love anti-gravity. I know it's not really going to be, you know, true anti-gravity, but wouldn't it be nice if we could start working with
anti-gravity?
Anyway, all right, I digress. So let's go ahead and say import date time, and now you're going to notice the moment I do that, a lot of different things light up. And one big thing to keep in mind as you're typing something out inside of Visual Studio, if you see the color change, there's a reason for that. That what Visual Studio is trying to do is tell you that this is a keyword. So you're going to notice that today is, in that case, you know, the little bit of teal.
I guess it is sort of a tealish blue. Yeah, it would be reasonable, yeah.
Periwinkle?
Yeah.
Sure. But whatever that color is, what this is trying to indicate to me is this is, at this moment, a reserved word or a special word, or this word means something. Mm. And anytime that you have a word that means something else inside of Python, you're not going to be able to use that as a variable name.
That is true, yes.
Yep.
So that's we didn't mention that in the rules when we talked about variables, but no, you cannot use a reserved word as a variable. You can't use print as a variable name.
Exactly.
You can't use input as a variable name because those have other meanings to
right.
Python. So
yep.
Today, and it's funny, because today is just such a good example because it's the kind of thing you logically go, hey, I need a place to store today's date. Why not call it today? Unfortunately, not an option. Just have to come up with something slightly different.
How about, let's go with...
usually you lose current date.
Now or current date.
I've seen now as a reserved word in some systems as well.
Yeah.
So I like current date. That's mine, but find your own. I think you're okay, you know? So.
Why are you still giving me that turquoise? It shouldn't be giving me that turquoise.
You know what? They recently posted an update. I actually had somebody pop up a question on the Q&A saying, hey, my colors aren't matching what you have on the slide.
Yeah, and that...
There was literally a release 2 weeks ago to the Python tools for Visual Studio. And so we're running with that. So it's possible there may be a couple little small quirks in it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't stress over it. I said it was literally an update like a week and a half ago. So we're still getting used to the update. We only saw it a week and a half ago.
Exactly. All right. So in any event, so we'll go with current date, and then I'm just going to say date, and then we'll say today, and that will give me today. So I'm going to go ahead and one of the big questions that's come around is, you know, when do I need the parentheses? And there's a couple of different ways that you can tell, but one of the easiest is these icons right here. So that little blue box that you see right there, what that's trying to indicate to me is a method, function.
We talked about functions, like print and input, these things that go do something for you.
Exactly. So that's going to need parentheses. So when you see a box, method, function, parentheses, and then on the blue ones, that's going to be some form of a property.
So those don't require those the parentheses.
Those won't need it. Okay. Exactly.
Oh, by the way, when you zoom out, the color fixed itself now, by the way. So it must have been just somehow a screen refresh with that update. So.
Yeah. That's sort of weird. Okay.
I think we just say new version of the tool.
Yeah.
Obviously, the colors don't refresh as quickly as they should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm not losing my mind.
You're not losing your
mind. All right.
It's all good.
So yeah, so we'll go with current date today, and then we'll just go ahead and print that out. So I'm just going to say print current date, just like that. And now let's go ahead and hit start. And sure enough, it prints out today's date as 2014-9-23. Perfect. Okay. So now what you're seeing here is how we can go off and grab today's date and how we can start working with dates and times. All right, let me get back to my slides here. Give this a second. All right. Now, we've already got it, the ability to store that into a variable, and you can kind of see that right there. There we go. Mm-hmm. And again, we see the output. We can see when the slide was created. So that was created on July 20th.
Yeah, you can see when I was creating my deck. Yeah,
absolutely. And then we've got our little demo slide.
Right.
Now, one of the biggest things that we're going to be looking to do when we look for a display or when we look to do calculations is to go grab the different components, the different parts of the day. And so you're going to notice that there's a whole set of different properties that are available on a date. Now, I've thrown around this word properties a couple of times. Let me go ahead and define this real quick. A property is, in a nutshell, an adjective. So whenever we're talking about an object, the way that I always like to try and describe things is picture a real world object. So here, let me hold up my little water bottle here. So you'll notice that I've got my little water bottle here, and my water bottle has a color, something that I could use to describe my water bottle. And so the color here happens to be blue. So property or adjective, color, the value would be blue. So in this particular case, coming back to the slide there, what you're going to notice is that I've got year, I've got month, and I've got day. Those are properties. Those are all different components or different adjectives, different ways that I could describe today's date. So I could give you the year, which is a part of that. I could give you the month, which is a part of that. I could give you the day, which is a part of that. And all of those are going to describe different pieces of information or different adjectives about that date object, in this case, the current date.
Unlike the functions. Functions are going off and doing something. These are just giving you information.
Exactly.
About that item or about
that
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's exactly it. So, and really, if I was going to go one step further, and I'm not going to dig too deeply into this, but when it comes to methods, I always like to call them verbs because those are the actions. So adjectives, give me something. Verbs, do something.
I like it. So functions and methods are like verbs, whereas properties are the adjectives. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of thinking of it.
I think so. Okay. So let's go in then and take a look at how we can access all of this. So let me fire up Visual Studio. And I'm just going to kind of keep on keeping on here. And let's just say print, and we'll say current date. And you'll notice again.
Every now and then.
It's not going to give me my completions. That's all right. I'm just going to say month, and I'm going to say print, and current date. And I'm going to say year, like that. And if I run this, it's working.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we've got that, even though it's just not giving me
the problem is Python doesn't know until you're executing the code that current date contains a date value.
Ah,
so we have that situation where Python has a variable, current date, which we know is going to contain a date, but there's no way when you're writing the code for Python to detect that's going to be a date value. It's only after
you've
executed the code it gets a date, and that's why you're not seeing the IntelliSense pop up for that.
Yeah.
So if you initialize it to a date value somehow, you could trick it into it, but that unfortunately is one of the things about dates.
And it's sort of true with Python in general. You see this actually in other languages, that Python, some people will refer to this as weakly typed. There's weakly type and strongly typed. So when you declare a variable, the variable will always have a type, a string, a number, a date.
Yeah, it forces you. When you create a variable in some programming languages, the strongly typed, it says, when you make a variable, you tell me what data type is going to be in there and don't mess with it. It can only have that data type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with a weakly typed, which is like JavaScript or Python, you can actually have a variable and you don't have to tell it up front, this is what it's going to be, which means that I could actually take a number, throw it into it, and it would go, oh, okay, cool, I'm a number. And then you could, three lines later, throw a string into it, and it would go, oh, okay, I'm a string. And
it's great, it's forgiving, it's flexible, but it gives side effects like, oh, the IntelliSense doesn't know what you're putting a date in there, so it can't give you the pop-up list of date functions, because for all it knows, you're going to want string functions.
Exactly.
So, that's that. Pros and cons, it is what it is.
Yep.
We'll let you move on.
Okay.
So that just explains why you don't have the IntelliSense.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay. So let's take a look at date formats here. And, I'm just pausing here for a second, so that way anybody in the chat window, because there's a little bit of a delay between us broadcasting and the chat window, but I just sort of want to put this out here to the chat window. So what date does 12/5/2014 represent? Or, you know, I could have even done something even better, is I could have done something like 12/6/9. Or maybe, you know, put zeros in front of that. So 12/06/09. What date does that represent?
So we have a vote here for 5th of February, 2014.
Okay, so we have 5th of February. What else do we have?
That's the only vote in so far. We'll see if we get another one coming in. I can tell you, this is one of those interesting ones, though, because, see, I went to a school that I was taught in French, and I was always taught it goes day, month, year. Mm-hmm. So 2 would be 2nd.
Yep.
5 would be your month, January, February, March, April, May. So for me, that would be 2nd of May, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now we've got, here we go, we've got some coming in now saying, that's funny, somebody else miscounted the months like I've done on occasion, but we have 2nd of May, 2014 and 5th of February, 2014.
Yep.
And therein lies the problem.
Exactly. Yeah, that depending on where you are, depending on the culture that you're working in, this could represent who knows what, and especially if we got rid of, you know, and I'm really going to kind of circle that example right there, that I'm keeping every number 12 under, and I'm using two-digit, I could make the argument that that's going to be June 9th. I could make the argument that that's December 6th. I could make...
And you know what? And nobody's wrong.
Exactly.
So it's important for us to be able to have a little more control over how we show dates to users.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is really the biggest issue when we're talking about dates is it's not just simply the, okay, now we've got something other than a string. It really is, how do we take the input and how do we display that back out. So what if we want to change the way in which we display everything?
Right. So but we could specify the actual name of the month rather than the number for the month. Because if I say 2nd Feb, then it makes it pretty clear that's the month of February.
Right. Yeah. And that's honestly, I mean, in my own personal life, that's why I always spell it out. That I will always go day, month, year, but I will always put the three-letter abbreviation for the month.
Yeah.
Just make it nice and clear. Let's just eliminate ambiguity, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but in any event, so what happens if we want to change the way that we display everything out? Because again, different countries are going to be doing different formats. And a lot of times, that default isn't what you need. And on top of that, even if... I might be thinking, well, the culture is set for U.S. English. I know that my user is expecting U.S. English. So I might be thinking, well, I'm just going to rely on the default output from Visual Studio. Let's just fire this back up again. There we go. You're going to notice that I opened the wrong window. You're going to notice right up there that it's giving me year, month, day, which... not everybody is necessarily going to be expecting.
Yeah, and again, people can mix up, is it year, month, day, or year, day, month?
Yep.
So it's not clear.
Exactly. Okay, so let's kind of go back to the slide and talk about all that. Let me, where's my slide? There's my slide. Okay, so here's the thing. This is something we can handle. This is something that we can deal with, but it is just going to take a little bit of extra time and a little bit of extra code. And it's one of those where it's not difficult. It can sometimes be a little bit tedious.
I was gonna say, it's a bit fiddly.
It can be, fiddly, funky, tricky, you know? But it's not necessarily difficult.
Yeah.
All right, so then how can we start to break things down? Well, one way that we could break things down is to actually just use that day, month, year. But one of the problems with just using the day, month, year properties is that after a little while, that particular bit of code can just get longer and longer and longer. And then, of course, we also have the problem of trying to convert those number types into strings and so forth and so on. So, fortunately, just like Susan demoed with our numbers where we have different formatting options, we've got the exact same thing for dates. Awesome. Till we look at the slide.
Yeah. Not exactly intuitive at first glance. You don't look at this and go, well, obviously that's taking a date and formatting it to show day, month, year.
Okay. So yeah, we've got current date.
That part's straightforward, right? Yep. That contains the current date. That's our date variable.
STRF time. String from time.
Yes, make a string from a date time element is what that's actually short for, but they made it nice and cryptic.
Yep. And then you'll notice that we've got percent %D and percent %Y. And so those two are pretty straightforward.
Those make sense.
Yeah. The percent %D is my day. The percent %Y is my year. The percent %B is my month.
And the reason, just so you know, they aren't just making it percent %B to make your lives difficult. The reason they had to use percent %B is because they use M for minutes when you start getting into times. So they always have this problem that there's minutes and there's months, and they can't use M for both of them.
Yep.
And uppercase, lowercase mean different things. We're actually going to see that. So that's why they had to go with something else. Why they picked B, I have no idea. But they're not doing it to confuse you. Programmers, people who make these languages are not out to get you. So yes, it's a little confusing to getting used to percent %B. When you forget it, look it up. Just search for help on string format time or how do I format a date output in Python. You will find on the first page of results in Bing something that's going to have a nice example. And actually in the reference document that is in the GitHub, we have a link to the documentation for string F time, which gives you a link to all the different options.
In fact, if we take a look at my slide here, you'll notice there's the little link. I'm just going to tap on that. Whoops, I'm on a highlighter. All right, give me one second here.
Got to convince it to let you out of highlighter mode.
Yeah, get me out of, there we go. Okay, so right here, there is all of the different options that are available. Again, don't memorize these.
No, we don't memorize it. Look them up when you need them.
There's an old story. Albert Einstein was being interviewed by the New York Times, and the interviewer asked him about some constant, whatever the constant value was, and Einstein said he didn't know what it was. And the reporter was, you know, a little incredulous. How could you not know what this is? And Einstein said, why would I memorize something that I could look up in a book in under 2 minutes? Same concept here. Don't memorize these things. You know, somebody asked earlier how it is that, you know, we know all of this. Well, the reason that Susan and I know this is because we've done it. Because after a while, you just keep doing it, you're just going to remember it. But sitting down and trying to memorize this, that's not going to be helpful. Because the other thing is, you don't necessarily know how much of this you're going to wind up using on a day-to-day basis. So you decide one day, well, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start memorizing this because this is what's going to make me a real developer, which it's not.
Nope.
And then you're going to wind up memorizing a whole bunch of things that you're not going to actually wind up using.
At least not every single day.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll do it once, and then you'll figure it out, and then you probably won't have to write code like that again for another month.
Exactly. So. Yeah, just go look it up. Look it up. But in the meantime, you are going to notice, coming back to my slide here, you know, D for a day, B for a month, and then Y for that four-digit year. And then again, if you want to break things down a bit further, you're going to notice the full, the abbreviation, the two-digit, the four-digit, and again, strftime.org to go get all of them. So that is what that breakdown is all about. Okay, so with that, let's take a look at that in action. All right, discard. Let's go back to Visual Studio. Woohoo! Okay, so now let's go in and let's say print. And what I'm going to do is say current date.strf time.
Yep.
There we go. And I'm going to go with percent %D. I'm going to go with percent %B, comma, and percent %Y, just like that.
Yep. That
cool.
Makes sense. Day, month, year.
Yep. And sure enough, if we do it,
much
there
better.
It is.
All right. High five. I like that way better as an output.
And actually, if I was going to, you know, do it my typical way of doing my formatting here, I'll just do it like that. There we go.
You like two-digit years?
I like the two-digit years.
That's a very popular format too.
Yep, exactly. You know, and that's it. Is that and you'll notice that if you want a specific format, you can get it. Again, We're not launching rockets here. Whatever date output it is that you're trying to put together, unless you're forming your own nation, and maybe you are, but unless you're forming your own nation, somebody else has needed to output dates like that. I guarantee you that there's a code sample, snippet or otherwise, that you can go get, or just go in and kind of play with it, and you'll be able to figure out exactly what it is that that you're trying to do with your date formats and your date outputs. Okay, I want, where is the right slide?
You're looking for the slide with a few more examples on it there?
Yeah. Almost.
Okay.
Okay. So then, kind of taking this one step further, could you print out a sentence like, please attend our event on Sunday, July 20, in the year 1997.
Just to show you that you really can be very specific and in terms of how you display your date. So yes, you do have a lot of formatting options.
Exactly. Now, here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice that I can't use a keyboard. I want you to notice that we're calling strf time again.
Yep, it's the same function.
Exactly. But you're going to notice, and you might have clued in on this, you might have sort of seen a hint at this earlier when we put in the comma, that we're not restricted to just using those special codes. So if you remember back to Susan's earlier demo where she was displaying out digits, well, the thing about displaying a digit is that a digit is still one component. So all that we need was a placeholder for that number to be dropped into. But when we talk about a date has multiple parts. It's got, you know, the day, the month, the year, and everything else to go along with it, the day of the week. And so it's very common for us to need to break it down into individual components and to put string text around it. So if you want to go in and say something like, please attend our event, or put in commas, or whatever else it is that that you might want to throw into there, you absolutely have that capability.
Nice.
Okay.
I could print, you said, print out wedding invitations with Python. Things that business applications of Python. I could start up a business with that.
I love it. Okay.
I'm just going to touch on this one briefly because it said this did come up earlier in the Q&A. Mm-hmm. Some people were asking about working with other languages. So,
yep.
You know, we've got, you know, if I'm in Canada, we are French and English. So if I want to see février instead of February, those sorts of situations are going to come up. That's one of the nice things about the numeric display is you have the advantage, but I don't have to worry about whether it's the month is December or décembre. Yes, you do run into some fun when you start dealing with multiple languages. We are not going to try and cover how you localize that, but we do have a hint for you where to start your Bing searches for examples and so on. There are examples in things like Stack Overflow and blog posts that talk about how do I localize a date, and I think the slide may have a reference.
Yeah, actually,
to it,
if you take a look at the slide, this summarizes basically everything that Susan just said there. But yeah, down there at the very bottom, you'll notice that there's a little project right there that you can go in and check out for going in and kind of dealing with localization.
Yeah, it deals with both currencies and date features, so it's a really useful library if you are dealing with different symbols and different languages.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, you know, let me just fire this back up again real quickly here, only because I want to just mention right up here in the top right, you'll notice fork me on GitHub. There's a reason that we chose GitHub to share out our code, and it wasn't just simply because, oh, look, we've got some place to drop our code.
Yeah, we can put it on OneDrive.
Exactly. The reason that we chose GitHub is because you're going to notice when you start getting in and start digging deeper into Python, you start using different libraries like this, or you start using different libraries like strftime, you're going to notice that quite frequently, they're open source. Meaning that if you wanted to go in and see exactly how they work behind the scenes, if you decided that maybe you want to get in and contribute, you have that ability. And most open source projects these days are maintained on GitHub. Actually, I shouldn't necessarily say most because I don't actually have the numbers. So I don't know if it's most or not. We'll say many. just to be technically accurate there. So many projects, open source projects, are hosted on GitHub, and there's many a Python project that's hosted there as well. So a big part of the reason that we did that was also just to kind of get you a little introduced to GitHub and get you kind of poking around in there. If I can again kind of throw in a real quick shameless plug, I know I did this earlier this morning, but it's worth mentioning one more time that we do have an MVA on Git and Visual Studio. So if you decide that you do want to get a bit more into Git, maybe use this for your own projects, even if you're not necessarily contributing to others, then you can go in and do that.
So we're just trying to do best practices ourselves by sharing code the way most people share code. So you start getting familiar with the ways people tend to share code. So when you want to look at someone else's examples, you'll know how to access it.
Exactly. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the world of dates.
Back to the world of dates. So, now, at the very beginning of all of this, we started out with a basic question. I've got my birthday, I've got today, how do I figure out the number of days until my birthday? Well, fortunately, you're going to notice that there's a lot of different ways that we can start doing calculations based around dates. Now, in order to do this, the first thing that we're going to need is we're going to need to know what your birthday is.
Yeah, we already know how to ask people for a value. We just use our input function.
Now, pop quiz, what's the problem with input when it comes to data types?
Input always returns a string. We ran into this when we were talking about number variables earlier.
Yes. So we need to convert that into a date.
Right, because we want to be able to use those cool date functions to do some logic and some calculations.
Exactly. And this is where strp time comes in to allow you to do that conversion.
Not to be mixed up with string f time for formatting dates for display.
Exactly. Now, what I want you to notice here, and let me fire up my highlighter, it's going to be the easiest way to show it, is you'll notice that it's off of date time. Now, first of all, why is it twice? Because that date time class is inside of the date time module that we're using. So it's a little clunky, but that's why that's there. We've got that strp time, so that's how we're going to pull in our time. And you're going to notice this takes two parameters, two values. Number one is the input from the user. Number two is the format that we are expecting. Now, let's do two demos here. Let's start here. So let me open up Visual Studio. Whoops. How about I open Visual Studio? There's Visual Studio. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this. Oh, you know what I am going to do? What's this? I want to comment all of those out. A lot of people have been asking about multi-line comments, and you really can't do multi-line comments in Python. You can sort of do a very hacky solution, which I really don't like. On top of that, I personally don't like having a multi-line comment, because one of the challenges with a multi-line comment is you cannot nest one inside of another. Well, what happens if I've got a full block of code and I want to comment all of that out? Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to notice if I click on Advanced and Edit that right here I've got comment selection. And you'll also notice, let me zoom in here, that there's a shortcut keystroke there. Control K, Control C. And you do need to hit Control for both of those.
Yeah, you actually hold the keyboard down and go Control K, C.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And then if you want to uncomment, it's Control K, Control U. So Control K, Control C, comment. Control K, Control U, uncomment.
And that is a really handy little keyboard shortcut that will definitely help you a little faster when you've got a lot of code and you're trying out different things.
Exactly. Okay. So let's do this. I'm just going to kick back real quick here to the slide. You're going to notice month, day, year. So that's what we've decided. That's what we're going to go with, month, day, year. So let's go ahead and come back over here. And I'm going to say that I'm going to declare my input, user input equals input. Please enter your birthday. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and say birthday equals date time, strp time.
Somebody suggested that you could remember it as F is like format and P is put.
Okay,
piece
sure.
And put the time and date time in here. I thought that was not a bad way of trying to remember it.
No, I'm going to go with that.
I don't know what it's supposed to stand for, but put works.
Yeah, put works just fine. All right, so we'll go month. We will go percent D day. We will go percent Y for our year, and that should give us our birth date. And let's just go ahead and print that out. We'll just do a very simple print and birth day. Excellent.
That looks good.
Okay, we'll hit start. Please enter my birthday, and I'm gonna go with 5, 8, and we'll go with 2014, so we'll put this year's birthday, and hit enter, and sure enough, it works.
You have successfully taken a string and converted it into a date.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's say that I decide that I'm gonna get a little bit funny here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say 8 SCP.
All right, because how do you know?
I don't know.
Enter. You just said enter my birthday, and if you're used to typing in the month spelt out, then that's the way you're going to enter it.
Exactly.
I got a bad feeling this is not going to end well.
This is not going to end well. You'll notice, sure enough, it did not end well, and it gave me a very, very, very long error message. But you're going to notice the key part to this right here, which is does not match the format month, day, year. So, you know, granted, yes, a lot of that is very ugly, but it still did a very good job of telling me, the developer, this is what went wrong, that they didn't give it to me in the correct format. Now, how could you solve that? Well, when you're dealing with a console app, there isn't necessarily a very simple way to solve that. That if I'm working on a Windows app, then what I could do is I could just go in and give them a control where all that they can type in is the specific values that I want, or they only have to choose it from the UI, and that's it.
I have a suggestion, actually, from somebody in the audience of how you solve the problem. Tell them.
Hey, that
why
seems
not
simple
in your,
enough.
Why not in that statement when you're asking them to enter a date, tell them the format you expect. So
yep,
absolutely, you guys have already figured this out.
And it's sort of stealing my thunder here.
I know. Well, our coders have already solved it.
I had a slide.
Yeah. Sorry, we got usurped. Somebody in the audience already beat us to it.
All right. Well, let's go back to my Visual Studio and take a look at it. And actually, all kidding aside, that one of the things that I always find is if somebody's jumping ahead and they've already figured something out,
that means you get it.
Yeah, exactly. That means that we're going along the right path. Or if somebody asks a question and we answer it, you know, like 2 seconds later, that always means that we're down the right path. So I'm actually very happy.
That is actually, I'm seeing lots of great questions where it's like, we're about to cover that. So I can tell that some of this, you guys are immediately not only understanding, you're thinking, but then when I want to. And we're trying to address those, we're trying to get to them. So you're thinking the right way.
Yep, exactly. Now, I just updated the code here to kind of add that in. And the nice thing is that putting that month, month, day, day, year, that's sort of a convention that most people understand, that if you've gone to a lot of websites, you know, for like credit card expirations and things like that. So you've seen all of that. So now I'm sort of prompting the user, hey, this is what we want. So, okay. Now, back to our slides. There we go. All right. Now, you could also add error handling.
Yeah, that's not going to, you still want to tell them to enter the right format, but in addition to that, you should probably include some error handling, which we'll cover tomorrow.
Yep.
Just because if they do enter something in the wrong format, maybe just because they hit forward slash instead of backslash.
Yeah.
You don't want the code going and exploding everywhere and giving them all these ugly messages. Said tomorrow, we'll look at how to handle that a little more gracefully.
Is there a module where you can add on that sound effect? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll have to look up if I can find a Python module that allows sound effects. That would be awesome. All right.
All right. In any event, so the dates then, this seems like a bit of work. So why not just work with everything with strings? Well, the problem is, what about calculations? That about the only thing that I can do with a string is concatenation. Well, now you're going to notice that I've got things like the ability to do addition and subtraction, because it knows what a day is.
And so you, can I point out how awesome this is? One of my first real-world programming assignments, I was my first programming job, you know, graduated school, got a job. I was a member of like 20 programmers on a team writing code. And one of the things we had to do, we had to determine things like the number of days between two dates. And we didn't have this function or this ability in our code. We had, I kid you not, it was a 700-line program. That had about 9 different functions in it to do things like, say, tell me the number of days between two dates, but would convert Gregorian dates to Julian dates and back to Gregorian dates. It was a beast of a program. So the fact that we can do things like, say, well, just tell me the number of days between these two dates by subtracting date A from date B, still brings me back to the days when I had to write that code from scratch. And let me tell you, that took a little while. So it's fantastic, but all we have to do is say, subtract date A from day B and tell me how many days.
It always seems so simple, but yeah, really, it wasn't.
We take it for granted
long
now.
Ago. Yeah, it wasn't.
No, because I'm only 29.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, only 29. Right. So back over here, 29.
That's right.
29.
Continue.
Okay. All right. Okay, so coming back over to here, seems like a bit of a hassle, so why go in and do it? Well, you're going to notice here that we could go in and just do the subtraction. You'll notice that we'll get a difference there, and then we can see the number of days. So let's actually just go in and do this real quickly here. Where's my Visual Studio? Beautiful. So I've got my my birthday, and let's go in and just simply say print. And I'm just going to kind of keep it real simple here. I'm just going to say days equals, and let's say birthday minus current date.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just do a print and days.
Sure.
There we go. Just kind of keep it nice and easy. And I could have made it, you know, a little bit fancier there, that I could have gone in and maybe
okay.
Oh. It's giving me a problem between date and date time.
You're just doing some data type conversions there? Is this the part where I start juggling and doing data? Did we mention in one of the earlier modules that somewhere along the way we would have an error or a mistake in our code?
That's why.
It happened, guaranteed. You think you got it there, Christopher?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those, sometimes you just start moving too fast and you just forget a little bit of code. Here's what I want to highlight, because this is actually very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love when something goes sideways, because it does give us the opportunity to kind of use this as a teaching moment. I want you to notice something. And actually, it's sort of funny, because this will be our next slide. I want you to everybody, read aloud the word that I have just highlighted there, the word that I'm
date time?
Circling. Date time. Date time, is that a single word or is that two words?
Date time appears to be showing up there as a single word.
Okay, but in English, it's how many words?
Date and time could be treated as two words.
Two words,
yes.
Okay. So date
and time. Yes.
So this is a different object. This is both date and time. The only thing that I'm interested in is the date. So you know what I need to do? Is I need to just tell it I only want the date. That was where I went wrong. And this is something that comes up constantly. You know, it comes up in programming. The biggest place where this comes up is in databases. When you're doing reports, ask somebody about the midnight problem, which is when you're trying to get today's, all the orders from today, you can't just simply go in and say where date equals and then whatever today's date is, because in a lot of places, it's going to be date time.
So that would include midnight then as the time. Well, if the order was at 3 o'clock, that's not going to come out as equal. So there's a couple little tricks that you can use to get around it, but that was the trap that I fell into here. So I just needed to make sure that I use date. So now, let's just let's go in and dot date.
There we go.
Now
that should help.
Hit start, and then now let's go 9:30, 2014. Enter, and now you're going to notice seven days.
Hey, awesome. Very
all
cool.
Right. Cool. And then you'll also notice that I could have gone days.days off of that, which would just give me the days. So we'll just say 9:30, 2014. And you'll notice just seven days.
7 days. So you could just return just the number of days in between.
Exactly, yeah. I'm just going to put that off to the side, kind of let that sit there on the screen for a second.
Sure.
So that way anybody who's following along kind of has the ability to see, oh, okay, that's what we did. And,
okay.
And again, just to kind of review, that was the part that I missed right there.
That was the mistake you had in your code. You'd forgotten to say, just give me the date.
Just
portion.
Give me the date. Exactly.
All right.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Let's go back to slides. So now, here's the thing. You are going to be amazed at the amount of work that you have to do with days. Susan told the story from a while ago, again, only 29,
yep.
Where she had to go in and write 700 lines to go in and start tweaking and working with dates. Again, we're not launching rockets here. Whatever it is you're trying to do, somebody else has already done. Chances are they've already been kind enough to go in and create a little project. So if we take a look, you're going to notice date util. So let me just click on date util. And there is a whole set of different functions and otherwise that are available to you to go in and play with. So you could go in, download this little module, and then start playing around. Source code development, you're gonna notice, interesting. See, not everything is inside of GitHub. This is actually using Launchpad. There you have it. So, but in any event, although all similar products there. But in any event, the big point that I want to make is if you are looking for some bit of functionality, I promise you it's out there. All that you have to do is just kind of go look and you'll be able to find it. Promise. All right. Let's close all of this out, taking a look at the other part of date time,
mm-hmm.
which is?
The time.
There you go. What about times? Well, you're going to notice date time, so yes, it can in fact store times. There we go. So if we go in, we say date time dot now, you're gonna notice that I could go in, grab the hour, grab the minute, grab the second to go in and print all of that out. And you'll also notice that there's a whole bunch of different format strings that are available. Remember again, strftime.org will show you all of those that are available. I'm not going to sit here and just keep reading them all to you.
You wouldn't memorize them anyway.
Well, yeah.
There's no point. You look them up when you need them.
Exactly. And me reading them, I would just wind up putting people to sleep. yeah.
And it's late. It's late in India right now.
Exactly. So yeah. It's late a lot of places right now. Yeah. Okay. So let's just kind of go back to my little code. I'm just going to comment that bottom part out again. Control K, Control C, Control K, Control C.
Yep.
Comment. I'm just going to sneak back up here, and I'm just going to say print current date, and let's go in and say current date dot dot day or dot minutes.
Okay.
There we go. And hold on 1 second, because I think I'm going to be wrong up here. There we go. I want now, not just today.
Yeah,
I want now.
Okay.
So now, let me go back in.
Do you want to go just double check that syntax on the slide?
There we go.
Okay.
Nope, I'm
just
good.
Missing a close. We were talking earlier about closing
have
double brackets.
Faith.
All right.
And now, have some faith and I still blew it. but that's okay. So let me do this. I've got all sorts of funny things going on.
Sure, I wasn't quite sure why you had that extra date in there.
Yeah, there we go. And I'm still missing something. That's all right. You know what I'm going to do? You know why? Because I had started going one direction, and I just sort of went a different direction with all of that.
But that's fine.
Yeah, but in any event, and I'm just going to leave that there at the moment. But what you're going to notice there is that we could go in, use the date time like that. We could also go back in and go grab our hour, our minute.
We have properties. We have properties, just like we did with dates. We could use string of time, just like we did with dates. The only difference is we're dealing with the times.
Exactly. Yep. So there's our little minute, and then away we go from there. So you can go in and go grab all of that, and there it is. Okay. So, dates, times. Again, here's the thing. You are going to find yourself working with date times on a regular basis. And yes, as we've seen, working with date times, again, not difficult.
It's fiddly.
It's fiddly. It's a little funky. It's a little bit of can be a little quirky at times. The biggest thing that I really want to have gotten across here is sort of three things. Number one is the fact that we do have date time.
Yes.
Number two, the basics of how to go in and play around with date times, how to accept user input, how to do a little bit of math, a little bit of display functionality. And then finally, last but not least, number three, and this is the biggest point, and it's a point that I know I've made over and over and over again today, but it really is that important. Whatever it is that you're going to be looking to do, somebody else has done it. There are utilities that are out there. Don't be afraid to go grab them. That we talked about the date util, we talked about localization utilities, we talked about the function strings. Go take a look at all of those. Go use those to help make your life easier. Okay, so with that, I have a challenge.
All right, and this one, you know, be prepared. You know, you've seen us struggling with the formats of this one. So you know this one's going to be a little more difficult for you because you're going to have to deal with some of the formatting issues.
So what you want to do, ask your user, give you a deadline, figure out how many days it is that they're going to have. Maybe also go ahead and give it to them in some combination of like weeks and days.
So I would suggest, first of all, just try and solve it so it tells them how many days they have to complete the project.
Yep.
Once you get that working, then you say, all right, bring it on. Now I'm going to break it down and give it to them as days and hours or days and minutes and things like that. So break it down. But I would suggest get the first part working and then go to the next level.
Yep. Cool. Well, with that, what do you say we take 10 minutes?
Yep.
And then we'll come on back, depending on something. I was trying to get a segue. I was trying to get a joke there, and it failed. We're going to talk about if statements, which is all about we're going to do one thing if something is true. So depending on this, we're going to do. Anyway.
You were just trying to be clever. We'll be back in about 10 minutes.
There we go.
Talk about
if statements. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. All right.
See
we'll
then.
See you then.